Then we talk about the wine, we start talk about the kisses. Can you remember? We have gone through that, right? We talk about the kisses, we talk about the vine, Song of Solomon, chapter 1, from verses 1 to 4. Then finally, we stop at where? We are brought to the king's chambers. Can you remember that? Then from there, I think we were in a theme of talking about inner spirituality and all that, right? And if we progress with these verses, let's look at verses 5 to 6. Suddenly, this Shulamite, this woman, she has this experience with a lover, and she has been brought to the king's chamber. And look at what she said in verses 5 and 6. She said, "I'm dark, but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem, like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon." And verse 6, she said, "Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. My mother's son were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my own vineyard I have not kept." Do you have that? I was reading from the New King James Version. Amen. Do you all have it? Suddenly, the Shulamite woman said, "I am dark, but lovely." Correct or not? He was focusing on the kisses. He talks about the wine. He talks about the oil. He talks about, remember, draw me. We talk about me. Then let us run. Correct or not? Then he draw us. How from a person, we are so concerned about me. But when we are broken, then we are united with him. And when we are drawn to the king's chamber, it is only us because we have been crucified. The union between us and God is like you and us. We and God are just one. Can you remember that? If you cannot remember, you can go back and visit those audio recording or video recording. It's all on the website and YouTube, so you can check it out. Because it's a progression. And interestingly, this Shulamite woman, after she got into the king's chambers, look at me, after she got into the king's chambers, only she realized she was dark. I'm not saying that she only realized, you know, but this has spiritual truth that we can draw, lessons that we can draw from this, whatever that the Shulamite woman say. So this is where I want to show all of us. We have talked about this before. It is only in God's presence when you are drawn to the king's chambers. King's chambers means you are brought close to God. You see your true selves. Those people who say, "I become very close to God now," and then he is very puffed up, he begins to think that he is very great. Many times we will have the temptation to think that, to doubt his relationship or his what he claims. If a person who has gone so close to God and he exalts himself, it's not very compatible with what he claims. Because here, immediately after the Shulamite woman, after she has brought to the king's chamber, she saw her true self. She said, "I am dark, because God is light." The closer we go to him, the closer we are approaching light. And the clearer we see our true selves. Whether we can do anything we want, we can see how well we are or how bad we are, there are still things that are hidden from our own views. Some people call it blind spots. There are blind spots in our lives, right? When you drive a car, there are blind spots. All the mirrors can't show you everything. So there are only things that can be seen about ourselves in God's presence. When I was young, as a young person, I have a leader who told me, "Hey, I spend time with God. The more I know God, I know about myself." I was struggling with that. And I was thinking, what do you mean by that? When you know God, you know himself. But he said it in a way like, you know, I know myself better. It's like, I'm not sure where was he coming from. Whether he knows himself to be a better person or what, I do not know. But there is some truth in that. The more you know God, the more we know our true selves from the very right and correct perspective. Only in God's presence, you and I will get the best, correct, not distorted perspective about ourselves. You know, no? In the Bible, it says there can be two types of sorrow. Correct, no? Sorrow that leads to death, and godly sorrow that leads to repentance. So you can look at yourself so negative, that can lead to despair, hopelessness, helplessness. But you can be telling me, I'm looking at my sins. Correct, no? So a lot of people in the past, when they sought God, they suddenly saw their blackness. And they say, I'm dark. And some people cannot take it. And there are, in history, there are accounts of revivals. When everyone is seated like that, they were shown their true condition. And because of their true condition warrants that they should be in hell now. And in that gathering, they see themselves in hell. So there you can see people screaming. The famous revivalist, Jonathan Edwards, he prepared a sermon, he typed it out. It was not even like free flow by the led by the Spirit. He typed out the whole sermon, he just read the sermon. You can look for it in the internet, you can buy the book. It says, sinners in the hand of an angry God. He delivered the sermon, he read the sermon. People were screaming, he just read only, keep screaming. They see themselves in the hand of an angry God. They know that they deserve hell. And they see suddenly the spiritual realm open up to them. And they see themselves in hell. And it doesn't just happen during the time of the Great Awakening. Jonathan Edwards was a very brilliant person. He likes science. You can see that he has books that, you know, he drew, if I'm not mistaken, spiders. You know, he liked to... He wrote a book called Religious Affections. People begin to dispute. Why, as a Christian, why do you need to involve your emotions? Is it too emotionalism? Are you too emotional? You know, Christian... He set out clearly logical thinking why religion must have emotions. We call it religious affections. So not just during the Great Awakening. Many times, there are different periods of time in the church history that during the move of God, people see themselves, they were caught in the reality of hell. How much we need that today. Amen. Amen. If you and I see ourselves in hell, I think we need that lah. No, is it? So that was what the Shulamite thinks after he comes, he goes into the presence of God, to the king's chamber. He said, she said, I am dark. She saw her true condition. And this is not just a one-time thing. If we develop an intimate relationship with God, the more we go into God, the more we see, ayo, this is really me. We see our personality being our twisted personality, our twisted attitude, our distorted perspective, right? We would not admit it by ourselves. Psychologists will say, oh, blame it on your parents. You have these traits because of your parents. Psychologists will tell you, blame it on your background. You grow up like that, that's why you have this disposition for anger. But if you go to God's presence, he's not a psychologist. He just shows you who you are. Okay? Psychologists will try to correct you and say, oh, blame it on your background. Blame it on your... maybe nowadays it is more modern. They say, blame it on your genetics then. But all that is not true. Even science is now showing that what the Bible says is true. Even our brain cells can be changed, can be transformed. It's called neuroplasticity. It's only a new discovery of science about 50-60 years ago, that they discover your neural nerve. Yes, all that. It's not by her, but your pattern in the neural, in your brain, can change. In the past, science tells you that if you're someone is in a terrible accident, brain damage, you cannot learn anymore. It's forever like that. But only in 60, 70 years ago, science began to discover, no, you can teach, you can rewire the brain again. Bible say you can renew your mind. Bible is like hundreds, thousands of years truth. Science is like 60, 70 years to prove thousands years of truth. Do you see that? So do you rather believe in the truth of the Bible or science? Science will catch up, you know, but before they catch up, oh yes, something must be very interesting there. I'm saying before they catch up, all the heads look there. I also want to see.
They catch up.
They're caught up. Before science catch up. Come.
I can't finish my sentence.
Before science catches up, science will dispute all you talk about on spirituality. They will dispute, they will tell you before they catch up. They'll say, oh, yeah, Bible is not true and all that, right? But when they catch up, they find out, oh, yo, this is a 1,000-year-old truth. The man can renew their minds. Nothing new, but science only catches up. So this Shulamite say, I am dark. Haha. Like I say, there are two types of sorrow. If you continue to see yourself in hell, that's why in those services, if they continue to see themselves in hell, they will finally end up in hell, you know. Correct or not? So those are evangelistic revival meetings. Sinners in the hand of angry God. Then Jonathan Edwards will continue on with Jesus as the Savior. So very, very powerful perspective of this Shulamite. Look at it. I am dark, but lovely. If you end with this dark, you'll be very hopeless, helpless, and in despair. But if you don't have the I am dark, you will not discover you are lovely. If you discover you are lovely before you are dark, you get it all wrong. You don't have a right foundation. Do you catch me? Many people today zoom in on the lovely. They keep telling you motivational messages, positive messages. You are the best. You have the greatest potential and all that. Before you know you are dark, I tell you are lovely, it'll be a very mixed up life and personality. You think you are great, your potential, you know, awaken the giant inside you, you know. Sometimes they tell you that they take all the motivational quotes, huh?
Anthony Robbins.
No, even in Christian world.
Because he wrote a book, Awaken the Giant.
Yes, even in the Christian world, they take that and they preach it. Awaken the potential, the giant inside you. Correct, no? This is the you are lovely part. I am lovely part. But this is the truth. This is the biblical truth that you and I must have the foundation on. Before you discover you are lovely, you and I must discover you and I are dark. It's negative. It doesn't sound nice. It sounds terrible. But you don't have this, you cannot move on to the true revelation of who you are in Christ Jesus. That you are lovely. That, like I say, the New Testament tells you, human sorrow leads to death. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. You see your true selves in the light of His presence, it will turn you towards God. You see yourself, your bad habit, your bad attitude, without the presence of God, you will be in despair. You'll be in despair, you'll be in self-pity. You cannot get out from there. You end up becoming always gazing at your navel. You look at yourself only. But in the light of His presence, in the King's chamber, God shows you who you are. I am dark, but lovely, O daughters of Jerusalem. Follow me. Then it says, like the tents of Kedar. Suddenly he gives a very graphic picture. Like the tents of Kedar, like the curtains of Solomon. Kedar speaks about the Arab people, Arabian people who move around. They are like
nomads.
Yeah, that they move around and they live in tents. And their tents are black and dirty. So here the Shulamite painted this picture like the tents of Kedar. I am black like the tents of Kedar, but lovely like the curtains of Solomon. Is it very poetic or is it very prophetic? It can be poetic, but it must be prophetic also, right? This is a very powerful truth inside here. Behold, I see myself, I am dark, but I'm lovely. How can I be how can I be dark and lovely in the first place? I know he will say that. He will say tamanis already. I knew it he will say, I'm dark but lovely because I'm hitamanis. Dark but lovely,
caramel,
right?
Caramel.
I don't know how caramel has to do it. That is what we think, right?
But in Hokkien, say Okim, Okim, Na, Kwana, Yusim.
So everyone has a phrase, has a quote about you can be dark and lovely, right? But let's go deeper here. The Shulamite was poetic. He said, like the cat, talk about him. She talked about herself like a camping tent. How poetic can that be? Can you write a poem? I am like the tent. I am beautiful like the curtain. Would you say that? Of course not, right? You would say, I am the like the lily of the valley, like the rose amongst mud, whatever, thorns or whatever. Will you ever say you are like a tent?
No rose in the desert, only
tent. Will you say that? I am well built like a chair. So, all so funny. So, Song of Solomon, yes, it's poetic, but there are truths in it. It's not without a purpose. When you have a tent, what do you have inside? You have people staying inside. I am dark. Outside, you see me like the tent of Kedah, dark. It's dirty, those Arabian. But my brother, my sister, catch this prophetic word, not word prophetic imagery. I am dark, but I am a tent. I am a dwelling place. I am a dwelling place. God, through the Holy Spirit, rest in me. I am a resting place. I am a tabernacle. I am dark outside. Inside, someone stays inside me. You can only be lovely when you realize you are a tent. I'm a resting place of God. I'm a tabernacle. I'm a temple. Behold, you are the temple of God. This is way far in the New Testament. That's why I say, as much as it is poetic, it is prophetic. How can Solomon see ahead? His time was just a temple of Solomon, the most beautiful. You know, he spent money to build a nice temple for God. There was no concept of us becoming the temple of God. So it's prophetic in the sense that, yes, I am dark. Yes, I know my condition. I see my flesh. I see my ugliness. But yet, I am a dwelling place of God. Wow. Have you ever realized and consider that you are a dwelling place of God? Maybe some cultures, they sort of try to get hold of it. You know, you go to Chinese, you know, they build small houses for their gods, right? Then they do it at home. They try to build small houses, right? They felt that they want to put a God in a house, right? Somehow there's this concept, but they didn't know that there is a reality, there is a possibility that it can be inside you, that you are that house. You can catch this mystery. It is what the Apostle Paul said. This is the mystery hidden throughout the ages, that Christ in you, the hope of glory. Because in the Old Testament, it's always Christ coming upon them, the anointing coming upon them. So when it is prophetic, it is saying, I'm dark, but I recognize who I am. In all my ugliness, outside physical, in the soul, in the body, but in my spirit, he whose spirit is joined to the spirit of God, are one. What does it mean to become a Christian? You receive Jesus inside you. What does it mean to be born again? Holy Spirit resides in you. Your spirit and the Spirit of God is joined. So I still remember last time when my daughters went to Sunday school, you know, they sing song, they do action. So one of the young people was leading the songs and said, "Oh, children, where is Jesus?" Then he said, "Jesus is there." So when we sing Jesus is there. Correct or not? But at home, we teach our daughter, Jesus is here. So where is Jesus? There or here? Jesus is both there, everywhere, and here. Alright. Have you ever thought that? Have you ever thought your children, Jesus is here? Here inside. Or if you want, some people say here. Possible also, right? Out of your belly. Out of your belly shall flow. Or here, here, here. Like the curtains of Solomon. When I realize who I am, I'm a beautiful curtain hiding inside God. The Temple of Solomon, the curtain behind the veil is where the Ark of the Covenant is. I am dark, but there are beautiful glories within me. I know some of you find it hard to process first, lah. But it has to be captured in your spirit. This is us. Like a Shulamah. I'm dark outside. You get this when you are in the chambers, King's chambers. She never knew all this. She began to pursue an intimate relationship with God. Then the king brought him to the chambers. Then she realized, I am dark. But in the light of his presence, I got this true perspective. I am lovely because I'm a dwelling place of God and there is a glorious beauty within me. Hallelujah. 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 That's why for many weeks we have been talking about inner life, spirituality. It is not just a concept. It has to be a revelation that you receive. Because far too often, everything about Christianity is about external thing. What you do outside, you serve. Everything is not wrong. I'm not saying it's wrong. Okay, don't get me wrong. If we get our observation right, everything is outside. The moment you believe in Jesus, you're asked to serve. You become an usherer, you become a driver, you become this and that. Everything you do outside. You go to church every Sunday, you see how people perform outside. You and I have never ever seen the pastor in his quiet time, right? He doesn't do that because everyone's quiet time is hidden. Correct or not? Even Jesus himself didn't show it to his disciples. Early in the morning, he will go to the mountain. He will go to a secluded place. That's why the disciples begin to wonder, how come the prayer of Jesus is so powerful? What is the secret of it? Correct or not? And Jesus taught them on the Sermon of the Mount. This is how you pray. When you pray, enter your room. We have talked about this a few weeks ago. Does Jesus have a room, a cabin room in a mountain? No. Jesus has to teach something he practiced, right? If we say enter your room, when you pray, enter your room. I never read in the Bible that Jesus has a room to go to. He always goes to the mountain. So what is he saying? It's very clear. Jesus was referring to an inner room. When I go up the mountain, I enter into an inner room. So wherever you are, you can pray in your own room. Wherever you are, you must learn to pray and go inside. Turn inward. For the kingdom of God is within you. That you are the temple of God. The kingdom of God is within you. Listen to me. The Holy of Holies is within you. When I turn inward, I seek God inward, I realize I am a tent. I am a dwelling place. And what do I house? I house the glory of God. And if I busy myself always pursuing things outside, I will miss out on this reality. Amen. Are you catching it? I know I sometimes sound like a broken record, keep repeating, but this has to be repeated until it becomes a revelation. Because if you keep hearing, yes, yes, you keep hearing, but if it doesn't go into your heart, you will never catch it. If you don't catch it, you will not practice it. You will listen all you want here, week after week. You go home, you do the same thing again. Okay, what do we do now? Okay, I'm going to serve God. All that not wrong, but you never spend time. You do not expend time, effort, and energy. You do not devote your time to cultivate your inner life. You hear, yeah, it's important. Yeah. Then go back, you don't spend time for this. That's why I ask you, do you know how to turn inward? That means you first learn to do it when you are alone. When Jesus has learned to do it when he is alone, in the midst of multitudes, to him it's natural already. When he's faced with a problem, he entered into his room, he took the bread and the fish, he looked to the Father. If you read the Bible carefully, he said he looked to the Father. He entered the room, he entered into the Holy of Holies. Right there, wherever he is, he can enter into his room. He saw the Father, he said, Lord, bless this. He began to multiply it. When you learn to practice it in the privacy of your lives, this will be brought into your natural day-to-day lives. If you don't practice it first in your privacy, it doesn't come so naturally. I begin to find out, the more I practice to turn inward, the more I practice to lean inside and find and seek God inside, I realize sometimes God inside me will call out to me. When I'm in some situations or whatever, then there is God from the inside begin to, when you keep investing time, effort, you realize the kingdom of God is within you. You keep spending time for that. Then wherever you are, in your office, when you are driving or whatever, God becomes real to you. He calls out to you from inside. When you are in the midst of a storm, from the inside, he calls out to you. I was shocked when I'm in the midst of busyness, when I'm in the midst of my office doing things, I discern God calling me. I say, hey, what's that? The time that I spend to focus on the inside has now become something that is real. Then when I'm in the office, God, I quickly turn in. So I can be doing other things and yet commune with God. I can be doing other things and yet fellowship with God. So the idea is, we do this more and more until it becomes natural. That's why when people say prayer is like breathing, and when the Bible speaks about pray without ceasing, then you begin to enter into that realm of communion with God. I know some people use praying in tongues non-stop as a way to commune with God. That's not wrong. Praying in tongues have a purpose. One day we are going to look, if we have the time, we're going to look at that. But the whole idea at the end of the day for your praying in tongues is you have to come into that place. After you pray in tongues for 1 hour, 2 hours, 3 hours, 4 hours, you ask those people who have tried to pray in tongues for a long time, they will enter into a stillness. And that stillness is for you to enter within. Prayer in tongues helps you. Some people use tongues, some people use the word of God to enter in. So reading the word of God, there are many. Some people use music, some people use worship. All these are means for us. One day we'll look at that in a deeper way. But here, it says, I am a tent. Outside me is just a curtain. Inside me, there are glories, there are beauty of God's glorious beauty within me. If you don't believe me, it's in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 4. After you have heard all this, then when we read these few verses, it makes sense to us. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. If you have 2 Corinthians chapter 4, can you turn to verse 7 to verse 10? Do you have it? Verse 7, it says, but we have this treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Outside is dark. Outside is clay. Inside is the treasure. So that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us. Last week I said there is unlimited power in this realm. But the reason you and I cannot access this realm, cannot walk in this realm, is because very quickly we will ascribe this power on ourselves. We will say, oh, I'm powerful. Huh? You will quickly jump into, I'm lovely. So the balance of I'm dark but lovely is very, very crucial in the spirit realm. I read again verse 7. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Hey, outside, outside is clay. No? Hello? Your outside, our outside is the earthen vessel. There is something, there is a treasure inside that's so power that has unlimited power. And it says that the excellence of the power, you recognize it is of God and not of us. Amen. It's got nothing to do. That treasure is what is inside you. It's got nothing to do with your outside, with who you are. Verse 8, we are hard-pressed on every side. When we realize there is a treasure inside you, the things that happen in your life, outside you, the circumstances, pressure, the stress, sometimes the sickness, the unending problems that comes to our mind that causes us to be very disturbed. Look at verse 8. This is the description of it. We are hard-pressed on every side. But because you have a treasure inside you, you will make sure that even though you are hard-pressed, you will not be crushed. We are perplexed. How often are we perplexed? Perplexed means I don't have an answer to my problem. I don't have a solution to what I'm facing. I'm perplexed, but I will not end up being despair. Because I know there is a treasure in me. I am persecuted, but not forsaken. One day, Christians may be persecuted, may be thrown in prison, may be put in difficult circumstances. But when you realize there is a treasure inside you, you will realize you are not forsaken. One day, you may be forsaken. Some brothers and sisters may say, oh, I don't believe Jesus anymore. You know, if you believe, you'll be struck dead or whatever. So they will forsake you. But when you realize that inner spirituality, that God is inside you, the treasure is inside you, you will not be destroyed. You can be struck down, but you will not be destroyed. Why? Because you are always carrying about in body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body. Do you see that? You must have the death and the life. You must have the dark and the lovely. The death of God must, the death of Jesus must work inside us to produce the life inside you. Hello? I give you a teaser of a mystery. Listen to me carefully. There is a mystery of I in Christ. Think about it. Huh? I in Christ and Christ in me. How does that happen? I in Christ, I identify with the death of Christ. That must be a reality. The things that happen in my outside is meant for me to identify my death with Christ. The sufferings, all that is outside for me to identify the I in Christ. When I have that reality of identifying I in Christ, then the next thing is Christ in me. I realize there is a treasure inside me. There is a reality inside me. To be very honest, I'm still pondering about this mystery. The Holy Spirit led me to this understanding and revelation of Christ in me. Then I realized this is not a perfect picture. It's not just Christ in me. I in Christ. Christ in me. That is the true beautiful union. I in Christ. Christ in me. And this, the verses now we read, hinted something to that. It says, always caring about in the body. The dying of the Lord Jesus. I in Christ. I identify with the death of Christ. Paul said, I want to know the death of God. The power of His resurrection. There must be both. I must identify, be able to identify with the death of Christ. The Catholics of old somewhat had an understanding of this. When they had the crucifix, when they spent time to ponder on the death of Christ, they had a glimpse of I in Christ. They tried to identify themselves with the crucifix, with the Jesus on the cross. Of course, Jesus is no longer on the cross, but the time they spent to meditate on Jesus on the cross produced a reality in them. I told you before, there are people like Padre Pio, a father, a priest, he will meditate on the Christ on the cross until blood begin to come out from his hands and all that. Some people say that's demonic or witchcraft, but it's not true. He entered into a reality of a spiritual reality. He realized what is the I in Christ. And all of a sudden, healing begins to flow from a Catholic father. Then you have hundreds of people queuing up outside his place.
There's a stigmata, which is not in the New Testament.
Yeah, stigmata. Correct, stigmata.
You understand that.
Yeah. So there be...
Galatians 6:17.
Yes.
Paul said, I have the mark of Christ.
So the...
It's a stigmata, but...
Correct. Yeah. Stigmata is the marks where... Some people don't believe this, but it's in the Bible. So plus people who meditated on the reality of Jesus on the cross until blood appeared. Some here, some here. We are not pursuing that, but when it comes suddenly, you realize, hey, it's biblical. So when people, hundreds of people queue up in this room, and he because they're healing suddenly, as the more he meditated on that, healing begins to flow naturally. And healing begins to flow naturally, prophecy begins to flow naturally.
Hundreds. Up from our Bible, the only Bible who has this is the Italian version.
Yeah,
only
of course.
The Italian version out of 20 versions that I've seen, only the Italian version has this stigmata. The rest of the New Testament all the
Amen. So that is entering into the I in Christ and Christ in us. Amen. So do you see that? We have this treasure inside us. That the excellence of the power may be of God, not of us. Many times, easily we fall into this realm. Oh, I'm so powerful, I'm so anointed. So how to enter into that realm of unlimited power? Holy Spirit, just give us a drop of anointing. We will say, I'm powerful, I'm healing. I'm so powerful, I have healer. I'm healing, I'm give, I'm all this. But the whole idea is, God wants to tell you there is an unlimited source of power inside you. When you learn the I am dark, you can step into the I am, yet I am lovely. Not because of me, because of the treasure inside me. When I truly, truly realize the treasure inside me, I can deal with all the pressure, stress, everything in life, storms in life very differently. That's in verse 8. We will be hard-pressed. That's the reality in our life. We will be hard-pressed, but we will not be crushed. Hard-pressed on every side. Imagine Multi-directional, people press on you, you cannot breathe. That's why people say when they are stressed, they cannot breathe. Means they are hard pressed. Right? Hard pressed on every side, multi-directional stress. Yet not crushed, perplexed, but so may this be an encouragement to all of you, to those of you who are experiencing stress, pressure. What is the secret to it? The secret is you will want to find a way out, right? You want to find a way out, right? Jesus never shows you the way out. Jesus said, there is a treasure inside you. I don't want to listen to this. I want to get out of this problem. It's not that God doesn't want to deliver us. More than conqueror, more than overcomer means there is a treasure inside. Amen. Amen. There is a treasure inside. Let's continue. Do we have time? Yes, we have. Very quickly. Verse 6. Do not look upon me because I am dark. Going back to Song of Solomon, chapter 1, verses 5 to 6. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. Now this dark that the Shulamite now mentioned is different. This now he's talking about one dark. I am dark but lovely. Now the Shulamite says something else. Don't judge. Don't judge me by what I'm going through. Don't judge me by what I'm going through. Now she has an added understanding. She knows that the fact that she's going through all this is not because she may be going through troubles, she may be going through all that. She's not going through trouble. She's not going through it because of a judgment or something. She said, all this happened because the sun has tanned me. The result of what I'm going through, what you see, the hardness outside me is the result of the sun. The affliction in life has caused me to become like that. But don't judge me because of that. The purpose of affliction has caused her to have a dimension of a different layer outside her. She begins to carry. This is not the darkness that we talked about just now. She begins to carry the body of death of Jesus. She begins to identify herself in a new way of the death of Jesus. There begins to be a new humility. There begins to be a new appreciation of Jesus' death. Don't look upon me because I'm dark. Because now, whatever the affliction is doing to me, the sun that has tanned me, is for me to discover the death of Jesus. I die to self. There's a different dark here, okay? That's why we say, I'm dark, but yet lovely. But now when she said, don't look to me, verse 6, do not look upon me because I'm dark. Now she's talking about another side of the darkness, which is the death of Jesus. Now she said, I'm beginning to learn to die to self because of the sun. The affliction in life caused a death. That's why Paul said, I carry the death of Jesus, the marks of the death of Jesus on my body. That's the dark, another dark. Can you capture? Amen. The affliction is for us to cause ourselves to die. The process of death to self will cause the tanning of our skin to become dark. Do not look upon me because I am dark, because the sun has tanned me. Then she began to talk about a modern day problem. My mother's sons were angry with me. They made me the keeper of the vineyards, but my vineyard I have not kept. The Shulamite is saying, why did you say my mother's? Maybe the time where she was living, they practiced polygamy. Okay, so probably these are like half-brothers. So they are half-brothers or step-brothers. So they're saying, my step-brothers, they were angry with me. My brothers, my sisters, look at me. The moment you want to learn to walk in this inner spirituality, the moment you want to start to cultivate this kind of a walk with God, your half-brothers, your step-brothers will be angry with you. Those who do not appreciate this, they are also like the same father, also like Christian, but it's like their mother is the church, you know. So it's a different, they hold on to the certain doctrine. They will say, you're going extremely, you're wasting your time. They will be angry at you. Why pursue? What do you mean pursue? There are many people out there going to die. What pursue inner life spirituality? What are you doing? What the death of Jesus? What? No need lah, all done already. Your mother's, the mother, what is it? My mother's son were angry with me. Do you see that? They will say, all this not popular. Why do go all this? Better pursue the hey, God, now is the season of prosperity. God wants to bless you. Nothing wrong. God does prosper. Amen. I don't pursue prosperity. But prosperity will pursue you when you pursue God. Amen. Amen. But when you pursue prosperity, that's a different thing, right? So your mother's brother, my brother, sister, better get this first. Get ready with this. Your mother's brother, those Christians who do not appreciate this, they call themselves Christian, they can be leaders, they'll be telling you, they'll be angry at you. You're not progressing. You didn't find your answer, what? Better try fasting, better do this. I'm not saying fasting is wrong. Better go and do something else. Make yourself useful. Serve more, do more. All that is correct. Look on further, exactly like what he say. They make me the keeper of the vineyards. Hello? Take care of the ministry. Take care of the church. Take care, do some church things more. Spend more time with church and ministry things. Here he said, they make me the keeper of the vineyards. He's not talking about God's vineyard. He's talking about their vineyard. This mother's brother, her stepbrother, her half-brother, they have their own kingdoms to take care of. Take care of my ministry. I have this vision. Pursue this vision with me. That is more practical. See, we are reaching out, we are touching people. Not wrong. Everybody, but say, they say, you keep, come, keep the vineyard with me. And when you do that, Shulamite finally realized, these half-back brothers, angry with what I want to do now, realize I have a treasure inside, I want to take, I go and do all this nonsense, then I realize, I come to this conclusion, my own vineyard, I have not kept. I disregarded my own inner life spirituality. When there's trouble, I don't know how to pray. When there's anything, I don't know how to draw near to God. When there is any issue, after all these years, after all that I've done, pursuing other people's vision, helping out, I'm not saying those are wrong, but when you do all that by neglecting your own inner life, you end up with no foundation. You end up with nothing. We think that we are very mature. We have gone very high. But when something hit us, we realize, I am empty. I have not kept my own vineyard. Take a look at my own vineyard. It is in a disarray. It's like full of bushes. When I'm in trouble, I want to strengthen myself. I want to encourage myself. I can't find it. Isn't that scary? But the New Testament tells us there is a treasure. When you realize that treasure, when you live from that reality, when you know that there is an unlimited power inside you, but you begin to, now when you realize your darkness, you must come to a realization that you are dark. To enter, to know that you are lovely, you must repent. Only repentance will cause you. When you turn away from all those darkness, you realize, oh, I always see other people bad. I always see these people are bad. But when you go into God's presence, you say, hey, I see their darkness because I myself share the same character with them. I'm also like that. I'm also stubborn. I'm also rebellious. So I quickly repent. And when I repent, I begin to realize there is a treasure inside me. I'm lovely. I'm a dwelling place of God. Inside me, hidden inside me, is the glorious beauty of God, Christ in me. As I begin to cultivate this, hello, listen to me, I'm giving you a zip version. Zip means a summarized version. When I begin to cultivate this inner life spirituality, I'm amazed, I'm shocked. More problems happen in my life. What's going on? It's hard pressing. When I pursue this, doesn't mean I have found the answer. Then you'll be tempted. Am I going the right way? The more I pursue this life, there are more afflictions in my life. Because this affliction is to bring on another level of darkness outside. I begin to identify with myself with the death of Christ. The affliction outside reveals my true darkness, because the response all come out like zigzag. All the pressure is to show what is inside me. And I know what is inside me is no good. I die to self. I die to self. I begin to carry the marks of Jesus on the cross. The sun tan. The sun shining on me. The affliction. Not nice, you know. Sun shining on you. The affliction is for yourself to die. When yourself die, you carry the marks outside. You learn to. And there is the harmony of you in Christ and Christ in you. Hallelujah. And you thought everything is over already, you realize, hey, my half-brother, my step-brother, they are angry at me. They don't seem to understand what I'm doing. They think I'm wasting my time. They think I can be more productive. So maybe you begin to also try out all these many other things. Oh, make yourself tired and all that. And at the end of the day, you look at yourself and I want to do something. You turn inside, look at your own vineyard. Kosong. I have never learned in all the things that I have done. Ayo, hopefully God remember all the deeds I have done. Hopefully it's not wasted. Hopefully God is merciful. I understand what you mean, right? But Bible also say, one day all our works will be tested. I hope we will all be there the fire test our work. Are you all burn? All left hay, wood, stubble, nothing, ash left. Are you all my years of serving, are you all the years I sacrifice, all is just ashes. Hey, this is real. One day all of us will go through that. The fire test all the works, everything I say, everything I do, test me, burn all inside, ding, still got gold. Burn all inside, still got silver. Burn all inside, still got precious stones. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
But burn. You're shivering. All the years I serve. Oh, nothing. Burn. Hey, wood, stubble. So whatever age you are now, why not we take this seriously? Why not we take it seriously? It's never too late as long as you and I have breath. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. No need to live on regrets. No need to live on regrets. Some people say, hi. No need to live on regrets. Now begin to repent. Instead of regret, repent. Turn away. Just turn towards God. Now you realize, I am dark. Repent towards God. Let God show you are lovely. Hallelujah. Amen?
Amen.
Beautiful, right? Song of Solomon. Very beautiful, huh? Shulamite is so wise because it was written by Solomon, the wisest man. Hidden all inside the symbolism are spiritual truths that we can draw from thousands of years later. How wonderful is the word of God. Amen. How beautiful, how precious. If you accept it with that attitude, that means how precious it is. It will become a revelation that brings an impartation of power for us to carry it out as well. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Now do you see how important it is to keep, to cultivate your inner life? Because, listen to me, at the end of the day, it's not about yourselves. And you learn to cultivate this, your own vineyard. The light, that's why Jesus says something very funny. We find it funny. You know what Jesus say? You are the light of the world. Wow. You are the light of the world. But we cannot tap into it yet. If the light wants to shine out from inside you, there are so many things. There are so many blocks. You understand what I'm saying? When we learn to cultivate it, It is all transparent. The light inside you shine forth. And you are very bright. Wherever you are the light of the world. I enter into this place, I'm the light of the world. I enter into this company. Suddenly, why their business goes up? Not because of you. Don't begin to think, you see, I carry. You see, I'm a carrier of blessing. Yes, you are. But it's got nothing to do with you. You are dark.
But lovely.
But lovely. It is true, you know. Where you go, you carry that. You step into a kopitiam, nobody want. You sit there, suddenly all the tables are filled up. Really, you check yourself and see. You never realize it. It's not about you, lah. It's the Christ in you. The more you realize the Christ in you, the more you realize the light inside you. You will behave differently. When people scold you, when people are bad, or whatever, however bad they are, I'm the same like them. I'm dark. I'm dark, so I'm the same. But I'm lovely. I'm going to let this light shine until he also realizes he's dark. The reason he's like that to you and me, because he doesn't know he's dark. And the more you still fight, and the more you keep saying, he doesn't get it. He cannot get it until you are light. You go to him. Fool also blinding. Surely you say, hey, what happened to you? Amen. It can happen. It's supposed to be like that. When you have that, your family, you bring your life to your family. You don't know it. The fact when you have that inside you, you begin to cultivate, you begin to have that reality. The fact that you are in the office, in the shopping mall, in your house, you are to radiate the light. Not you, no, the Christ in you. Radiate, release the light. Hallelujah, shall we stand? Are you glad for the word of God tonight?
Yes.
I really encourage you to really meditate, to really spend time to think about all these truths. You know, these truths are really fundamental and very urgent, especially in the times that we are living in. There are two things. These things are to prepare us. My brothers, my sisters, listen to me. These things are to prepare us. Twofold preparation. Prepare us for what God wants to do. For the manifestation of the sons of God. And at the same time, it is to prepare us for hard times or difficult times. For darkness. Because when it is dark, our command is, arise, shine. For your light is come. So this twofold preparation is for what God wants to do through you. How to shine? How do you arise and shine? Inside you, the light. How do you shine? Does everyone take out the handphone and shine? Or is it the torchlight? Take out torchlight and shine. Arise, shine. For the light is come. Hello? Nations will come to you. Wow. Do you see that? So they are much, much more in that realm for you, for me. But you must capture that. Hello, you are dark. I'm dark, yet lovely. Why not start? Why not start by looking at... You can't look at your own darkness. You can ask God to show you. Amen. You see, that's why the psalmist is so clever. He goes to God's presence, he says, you are my light and my salvation. You are my light. Shine on me. Every time I read the word, let the word of God speak to me. Shine on me. Show the things inside me. Search me, O God, before I point my fingers at other people, before I complain, before I blame other people. Search me, O God. Try me. See if there be any wicked way inside me. Do you see that? It's not always, oh, must be the background, must be your parents, must be your husband, wife, must be your sister, brother, must be the church, must be the pastor, must be your children. You can blame all you want. But the psalmist has taught us a good thing. Search me, O God. Begin with me first. I want to know how do you look at me, Lord. Amen. Let's take some time in the presence of God. Ask God to search us. Why don't we do that? We have that song. We don't have to sing. I think there's this song about that. Hallelujah. Just close your eyes. You don't have to bother about the song, but take this time and ask God to search your heart. Oh, thank you. Ask God to search your heart. Will you do that? Just close your eyes. Jesus can begin to enter into the room and ask God. Says, search me, O God, and know my heart today. Try me, O Savior, know my thoughts, I pray. Some wicked way in me, cleanse me from every sin and set me free. Just close your eyes and just spend a few minutes. Ask God to search you. Whatever God shows you, just repent. Just tell God, yes, that's me. I'm dark, oh God. I acknowledge that. And search, that's truly who I am. I don't give an excuse. I don't find a reason. Me, oh God, and know my heart today. Try me, oh Savior. Try me, oh Savior. Know my thoughts, I pray. See if there be. Some wicked way in me. Some wicked way in me. Cleanse me from every sin. Cleanse me from every sin.